Tuesday. Hi, Bill.
And what a Tuesday. Who knew as we were driving in that it would be a day like this, where a news story that we thought we had figured out would take so many twists and turns?
Jussie Smollett knew.
You think he did?
Yep.
Interesting. I wonder if even he knew.
They called an emergency session. At that point, Jussie Smollett knew that charges would be dropped.
I guess so. Very unpredictable day. Very.
I'm just bummed because the all-female spacewalk was canceled. NASA was going to have this historic spacewalk with all women. I almost said chicks, but then I thought...
Chicks. On Showtime. I used to watch that show on Showtime.
I thought women
space
would get
chicks.
Be ashamed of me for saying that. But
the reason is bizarre.
It is. A scheduled all-female spacewalk has been canceled by NASA because they didn't have the right size spacesuit.
Mm-hmm.
That seems very bad. Poor planning.
Right,
men must have planned it because women would have had all the array of sizes.
Well, NASA's in the business of preparing for whatever could possibly happen. Their job is to figure out every scenario and have an answer for it, but somehow this one slipped through.
NASA astronauts Anne McClain and Christina Cook were supposed to take part in the first all-female spacewalk on March 29th, just so coming up.
Mm-hmm.
The space agency announced today that, quote, due in part to spacesuit availability on the station, the mission assignments had been changed. Cook will now be partnered with a male astronaut, Nick Hague. The pair will be working to install powerful lithium-ion batteries for the International Space Station during their mission. It'll be the second spacewalk of a series of three that NASA has planned.
A good name for this story would be, does this spacesuit make my astronaut look big?
Oh, my God, there's your headline. That is the headline. The problem is, this is bad because, I mean, couldn't it just, I guess it should fit properly. It's a space suit.
It should definitely fit properly. You don't want any give. I think it demeans women.
Well.
Said the guy who just came up with the astronaut joke. Because, like, this isn't something you would equate with men. You go, well, men wouldn't put up with that. They would just say, give me one that's a size too big or too small. I'm fine with it. I need to go out and do space things. But I think this makes women look bad, and it shouldn't.
I think it makes whoever planned this look bad. Christina Cook wears the same size as Anne McClain, and
there's only
one medium. Only one medium-sized torso component is readily available.
You need to go to Ross.
Ross Dress for Less?
Yeah. They got them on the rack. They got three for two sale going right now.
I'm the only person, by the way, who calls it Ross Dress for Less.
No, you just said
Ross.
Yeah, I just call it. I'm in a hurry.
I think most people, I have to say Ross Dress for Less. I don't know why. It drives my family nuts.
It's a little bonus.
The New York Times, quoting a NASA spokeswoman, reported that there are two medium-sized torsos currently on the International Space Station, but one has yet to be properly configured for a spacewalk. It would take hours of crew labor, not to mention some additional risk to fix it in time.
I think they were fighting because they were wearing the same outfit. I can't believe we're wearing the same thing. It's a spacesuit. We're supposed to wear the same thing. But it's the exact same. I can't be seen with you.
All right, that makes you look bad, not the women. I get where you're coming from. Women do not like to show up in the same outfit.
Right, it's embarrassing.
Although I don't really care.
Oh,
I really don't. Because then you get the who wore it better.
Well, that's why it's always strange. Like, for years, clothing stores like The Gap have had this thing when you come in and you try something on, they say, and this is a pre-programmed response that they have, you should really buy that. We're selling a lot of those. Everyone's buying that. So to me, as a shopper, I say, well, then I'm not going to get it because everybody else has one.
I have never had any woman ever say that to me.
Really?
Ever.
I can't tell you how many times
that's been
the response where they go, you should really get that. Number one, it looks great on you. Right.
All right. That is a woman working you.
Yes. I know.
Because no one has ever. Jasmine,
I'm on to that.
You shop a lot, although I shop like in a self-serve place, like a Ross Dress for Less and Marshalls or TJ's. But Jasmine, has anyone ever said to you, God, that looks great. You should snatch that up now. Everyone's buying it.
It depends, really. Like, if it's a jacket or something, and I'm trying it on, and I'm in the mirror, then women are like, oh, that looks cute on you.
Somebody who works there at the store, right?
But do they tell you to snatch it up? Because everyone's buying. I've never heard that in my life.
I can't tell you how many times. That's the 1-2 punch. Punch number one is that perfect color, perfect. You got to get that.
You fall for it.
And number two, no, because I know it's a game.
Right?
Like, early on, when I was younger, I'm like, wow, it must look good. The saleswoman said how good it looks. That's got to be. I must have really pulled something off because the salesperson, and they see people trying on clothes all day. She even said, and then they always used to say, and this was especially the Gap, not exclusively, but especially, we have been selling a lot of those. So you got to get it. It's a hot item. But then I would say, well, then no, because then everywhere I go, somebody will have this.
When is the last time someone said that to you? Honestly, 20 years ago?
No. Within a year and a half, 2 years?
I have never, ever heard any salesperson say that.
More when I was younger and more adventurous with my clothing choices. Now I'm kind of sweatshirt shorts. I'm done. Let's go home. Also, at Lincoln Mall, they used to have a store, and I don't remember the name of the store. Actually, it's so funny. We had Jimmy Pardo in on Friday. Jimmy worked at Lincoln Mall at the same time I did. He worked at JR's Music, and I worked at Toys by Rizzy.
Oh, I would have been in the music shop there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But there was a store in there where the girls were instructed. It was a men's clothing store, and all the salespeople were attractive women. And they would touch you a lot. Like, you would try stuff on, and they would just, like, gently massage. Like, they'd go, look at how great it fits in the arms, the shoulders. There was a lot of physicality.
How often did you go in there?
Every day.
After the food court or before?
Before and after. No, because you're a naive high school kid, and you're
so
like,
cute.
Wow, the girls get excited when they see this, but little did we know that was part of the game plan to sell their goods.
And what was it, like a roughly salmon-colored shirt?
Yeah, more times than not.
Yes. Do you not remember the name of the store?
No.
It wasn't Merry-Go-Round, was it?
No. It had a European-sounding name, is all I remember, which added to the mystique.
Yeah.
Like, I bet if I was in Europe, things would be even better. I'll wear this shirt the next time I'm in Europe. Women won't be able to control themselves. They'll come running over from the Louvre.
312-235-2525, if you have any idea what that store was called. It was at...
It was at Lincoln Mall. Jimmy and I have discussed this in the past because we both thought it was singular to only us. You know, that, yeah, girl, wait, that happened to you too? We'd get upset when we'd find that out. Oh, I thought I was the only one that was getting girls excited by trying on the clothes there.
I punched in Lincoln Mall European Men's Clothing Store.
No, it wasn't European Men's Clothing, but the name of the store had like a European-y flair to it.
Gant, U.S.?
No, it wasn't Gant. I remember them.
John Varvatos?
No.
I don't think it was there then.
Is there a list online of stores that existed at Lincoln Mall?
I don't know. I don't know if they're still there, Bill.
No, well, Lincoln Mall's no longer there.
This is near Lincoln Square. This is...
No, Lincoln Square, I think, is in Lincoln Wood.
I put Lincoln Mall.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
In Matteson?
Is that where it was?
Yeah.
You never said Madison?
No, it's Matteson. Jazz, back me up on this.
Matteson.
It's Matteson.
I've always called it Matteson. Always.
But now there's been a resurgence of people incorrectly referring to it as Madison, and that's in Wisconsin. That's the state capital of Wisconsin.
Agreed. All right.
It sounded like Z Cavaricci, but it wasn't, because they made pants, right? But it had that kind of a European sound.
With a Z?
No, not necessarily. No. I don't remember what it was. If I heard it, I'd remember it, but I can't rack my brain. I've got more important things to rack my brain over.
Like what?
I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. Well, I'm upset that the spacewalk is not happening.
Yeah, that's very upsetting.
Yeah, no one's helping
me out here. Has it been rescheduled?
No, they're going with the man's going. Instead of Christina Cook was one of two women that was going to take part. She will now be partnering with Nick Haig. So out of the mix is Anna McClain.
On the mix. Careful. He's a friend.
What?
He's a friend of the show.
No, he's not.
Wendy, in other women's news, a Maryland woman...
Would you steal the magazine at your gynecologist appointment again?
It was 3 months old. They said, please, this is old news.
It was in its first trimester, that magazine.
Yes, it was. A Maryland woman has suffered a stroke after tearing an artery during a yoga pose. Did you know that was possible?
No.
From what I hear from those close to me, a.k.a. my wife, yoga ain't nothing but good for you.
Well.
She says everything about yoga is good for you. But now I will carry this story around in my wallet, and if I'm ever told that, I will tell her about the woman in Maryland who had a massive stroke after tearing an artery while attempting a yoga handstand pose. She said she is still suffering from memory loss and severe headaches, but has not given up her passion for the practice of yoga.
I wonder if it was truly the yoga pose that caused it, or just sometimes
it would have happened anyway.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, like shoulder checking in a car. I'm telling you, weird things happen. I pulled a muscle hugging Eric Zorn yesterday.
Yep. That happens.
He's so tall.
There should be a warning on him to hug him at your own risk because you might tear a muscle.
And I will tell you, it totally...
Did you just hug him or did you climb him?
I went to hug him, but I had to stretch so tall.
He's very tall.
He's way taller than I thought he was. I never went to hug him before, but I was consoling him over the death of his dog, Hazel.
Jasmine has suggested to me privately that we have a no-hugging policy with you and the guests.
No.
Really?
I hug.
All right.
I'm a hugger.
Because we've had complaints.
Not a lover.
Right. Right. How strange.
But if it all depends on a teacher, because I was talking to a doctor about this. And
a yoga doctor or a regular doctor?
No, just a regular doctor. And she was saying if you don't have someone teaching the class correctly or if you're not doing the positions correctly, some of these things can be super dangerous for you. Pilates, yoga, yep. You need to have someone teaching you the proper way and kind of keeping an eye on mm-hmm. you. Sounds like this woman is a pro and does yoga very frequently.
I'm getting the feeling that's true.
And it was just a freak accident.
Here's what she says. Rebecca Lee is her name. She's 40. I don't know why that's pertinent to the story, but they said that she's 40.
But she looks like she's 39 because of yoga.
She looks 39. She's in great
shape. She's saying the age because that's young to have a stroke.
I guess so. Yeah. After decades of focusing on working out and my diet and making as many healthy decisions as I could for my body, having a stroke by doing yoga just didn't seem fair. I'm nodding my head in agreement. It doesn't seem fair. In October of 2017, Lee had been recording her attempt at a hollow back handstand. What would that be? Do you have any idea what that is?
No.
I ain't no hollow back boy, so I don't know what that means. She was attempting the hollow back handstand pose for her social media following. There's the problem. Everyone should not have a social media following. But experienced blurry vision and lost control of her arm in the immediate aftermath. Well, that's bad.
Oh, that's when you are on your forearms. You're doing a handstand, but your legs are kind of out like a running deer. You have one leg.
When would you need that in real life?
Well, that's a yoga pose.
But here's... All right. I'm embarrassed to ask anybody this question, but I will ask you because I honestly don't know the answer of it. What's the point of those poses? Is it to strengthen your muscles if you stay in that? Is that what's going on there?
It's all, honestly, the core. Look at this. Bill, you do this handstand, and, I mean, you need exquisite control. You need unbelievable core muscles to support the rest of your body.
She has formed the letter T out of her body. Right? Her legs are up in the air.
Or a J, depending on how you look at it.
Right.
Because she's on her forearms doing, I don't know how you can do a handstand. And she probably just lifted herself up. Jasmine, you can do this because you're a cheer girl.
I can try.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to try while eating your lunch?
No, not right now. Oh, my gosh. I have a dress on. Oh. Wendy.
Sorry.
This is another pose that this might be the hollow back handstand. And I think it means where your back is hollowed out like that. Maybe that's why they say it. But it's, if you're in really good shape and do yoga on a regular basis, that shouldn't cause you to tear something.
I don't think so. But I'm subscribing to your theory, which is she was probably going to have a stroke anyway. I don't know that this contributed to it. It was just a freak thing, right?
Yeah, I think so. Although, who was the guy, and I always think of it, the runner?
Jim Quick. Jim Fix.
Jim Kick was on the Miami Dolphins.
Yes, he was. K-I-I-C-K.
How about that?
Excellent. Well played.
And Jim Fix wrote that, I mean, all he did was run. He kind of started the whole jogging craze, and he died of a heart attack while jogging.
Yeah.
That explained things to me way back when.
You don't want to run.
Mm-mm.
It'll kill you. Exercise will kill you.
Only run when someone's chasing you.
Right. If a tiger's chasing you, that's a good time to start running. It only lasted 5 minutes, and then my head began to hurt, Lee told SWNS. Do I know what that is? I do not. Explaining that she thought initially that she had aggravated a herniated disc, she said, I suffered from headaches and migraines since I was a teenager, but I knew that this was different. In the days that followed, she noticed her eye was drooping, bad, and her pupils were different sizes, and she was rushed to the hospital by her husband. The doctor on staff came into the little room that we were waiting in and said in a monotone voice, well, my dear, you had a stroke, she told us.
They said, well, my dear?
It says it, well, my dear. It was their doctor's W.C. Fields. Well, my dear.
Chickadee.
My little chickadee. You've got a stroke.
Now light my cigar.
Why would somebody use W.C. Fields as a doctor, Wendy? She must have had a stroke. This is bad planning. Kevin and I both let out a little laugh, which I would not do if somebody had told me I'd had a stroke.
No.
I would do the opposite. I would have a little cry, not a little laugh, because we thought that he might be kidding. I'm bad with doctors kidding.
Yeah.
I like a doctor to tell me the facts.
Yeah, I don't want a doctor kidding.
No, a funny doctor's not for me.
I'm with you.
I don't want a funny doctor. Kevin Hart would be my doctor, Wendy, because I don't find him funny. There was no way that someone my age, 40 in brackets, and my health, good in brackets, could have had a stroke. But he responded to our laughter in a very solemn silence, and his face said it all.
Well, that's sad.
That's very sad. But she's okay. But happy ending to the story, which usually costs extra. She's okay. She's good.
Jim Fix, on the other hand, he spurred the jogging craze with his best-selling books about running, preached the gospel that active people live longer, died of a heart attack while on a solitary jog in Vermont. He was only 52. This was back in 1984, and I still credit this often when talking about running.
For the reason to not run.
Yeah.
He's like, I would put him on the same bracket as Steve Irwin, who was always around dangerous animals and then got killed by a dangerous animal.
Yeah, that is ironic.
You know, there's certain people who live a certain lifestyle, and then sometimes that lifestyle goes, not so fast. We've got plans for you.
He wrote that complete book of running. He really, truly started the running craze.
He was
52 years old, going out for a solo jog, bang, bang, boom, ack.
Yeah, and in great shape.
I know.
Perfect shape. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, God works in mysterious ways.
Yep, we've established that. Kim Gordon will be by. She'll keep you up to date on what's going on in the Jussie Smollett case. Some twists and turns that nobody anticipated. That's coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, we've talked a lot about the Jussie Smollett case on the show today, on the regular show anyway, not so much on the bonus hour. But I'm curious, you've been in the newsroom for quite a while today. It's insane,
we're,
right?
We're all just perplexed.
Yeah.
We don't understand what happened.
No one saw this coming.
No.
Especially Eddie Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, right.
He was at a graduation ceremony for cadets.
Yeah, police academy graduation when he and Mayor Emanuel found out about it. And there was just a former state prosecutor on WGN TV, Rod Roddy, and he was saying, not Rod Roddy, I'm sorry.
He's the announcer on Soap. Yes.
Roddy Piper.
Joe Roddy, I'm sorry. He said that, you know, this is just unheard of because they usually owe them professional courtesy because the police and the prosecutors, state prosecutors, they all work so closely together.
Right.
This is unheard of. We had Rich Lankoff on the air with us, our show attorney, and he said the same thing. Usually, you know, they work hand in hand.
Right.
So if this emergency hearing was called, then Chicago police would have been aware of it, too. I just find this so shocking. And with it being a sealed case, I wonder if we're going to find...
We may not know. And Johnson, you know, was furious because he says his evidence in this case is rock solid.
Yeah.
So now what happens now when the police department and the state's attorney's office are fighting and disagreeing? What happens?
You know, it's, you would hope they take each case on a case by case basis.
Right.
And look at the facts and do what's right. But
what the heck?
If there's so many questions out here, it obviously makes you question what's going on.
Forgive me if you don't know the answer to this. I'm just curious. This was quickly sealed earlier today. Is that the norm? Is that how it usually goes down?
No, I believe we have
here's Eddie Johnson speaking.
And let me digress for a moment. When I came on this job, I've been a cop now for about 31 years. When I came on this job, I came on with my honor, my integrity, and my reputation. If someone accused me of doing anything that would circumvent that, then I would want my day in court, period, to clear my name. I've heard that they wanted their day in court with TV cameras so America could know the truth. But no, they chose to hide behind secrecy and broker a deal to circumvent the judicial system. My job as a police officer is to investigate an incident, gather evidence, gather the facts, and present them to the state's attorney. That's what we did. I stand behind the detective's investigation. I'll let Mary Manuel comment further.
One thing is not only do I support the hard work of our police officers, the defective units, but I'd like to remind everybody a grand jury indicted this individual based on only a piece of the evidence that the police had collected in that period of time. So a grand jury actually brought the charges. I think on three things I'd like to say. One, on financial costs, this $10,000 doesn't even come close to what the city spent in resources to actually look over the camera, gather all the data, gather all the information that actually brought the indictment by the grand jury on many, many multiple different charges. Second is what I would call the ethical costs. And the ethical costs is you have, as a person who was in the House of Representatives when we tried to pass the Shepard legislation that dealt with hate crimes, putting them on the books, that President Obama then signed into law, to then use those very laws and the principles and values behind the Matthew Shepard hate crimes legislation to self-promote your career is a cost that comes to all the individuals, gay men and women, who will come forward and one day say they were a victim of a hate crime who now will be doubted. People of faith, Muslim or any other religious faith, who will be a victim of hate crimes. People that of all walks of life and backgrounds, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation. Now this casts a shadow of whether they're telling the truth. And he did this all in the name of self-promotion. And he used the laws of the hate crime legislation that all of us collectively over years have put on the books to stand up to be the values that embody what we believe in. This is a whitewash of justice. A grand jury could not have been clearer. To then say not only is the cost, the $10,000 doesn't come cost financially, but all the other repercussions of this decision it made to me, where is the accountability in the system? You cannot have, because of a person's position, one set of rules apply to them, and another set of rules apply to everybody else. In another way, you're seeing this play out in the universities, where people pay extra to get their kids a special position in universities. Now you have a person, because of their position and background, who's getting treated in a way that nobody else would ever, sorry about that, would, don't get near, I'm doing near my sermon here, that would ever get close to this type of treatment. Our officers did hard work day in and day out, countless hours, working to unwind what actually happened that night. The city saw its reputation dragged through the mud, but I remind everybody it was not just the officer's work. That work, a piece of that work, was shown to a grand jury, and they made a decision based on only a sliver of the evidence. And if I remember correctly, somebody wanted to have that evidence in the day, as the superintendent said, their day in court, so all the evidence could be made public. Because of the judge's decision, none of that evidence will ever be made public. None of it. This is without a doubt a whitewash of justice and sends a clear message that if you're in a position of influence and power, you'll get treated one way, other people will be treated another way. There is no accountability then in the system. It is wrong, full stop.
Do you blame the state's attorney's office for this decision?
What I do want to say is the way I look at it is I commend the officers and the grand jury for their decisions.
What about Superintendent Johnson? Does Ken Fox owe you an apology too?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, our job as police officers is to present them with the evidence. The apology comes from the person that did this. If you want to say you're innocent of a situation, then you take your day in court. I would never, if someone falsely accused me, I would never hide behind a brokered deal and secrecy. Period.
But you said you didn't have any heads up about this at all, right? I mean, you found out about this today while you were here. Is it unusual for the state's attorney to just drop a case like this without giving you guys some sort of heads up?
Well, I don't know what's unusual for the state's attorney, but we found out about when you all did.
John, hold on one second. I would say one thing. From top to bottom, this is not on the level.
From the state's attorney's office.
I understand that piece, but I do want to get, it's not on the level, but I also want to say, and I want to emphasize, underscore what the superintendent just said. In the end of the day, it's Mr. Smollett that committed this false claim upon two individuals and who also testified, but also on the city. One action, yes, you're looking at the state's attorney. It is not on the level from beginning to end, and there needs to be a level of accountability throughout the system, and this sends an unambiguous message that there is no accountability, and that is wrong.
Don't you think this was incredibly disrespectful? You work hand in hand with the state's attorney's office and your department on cases every day. To think of the man hours your detective spent on this and to not get at least a phone call from her office saying, hey, this is what's happening today. Personally, how did you feel about that?
Well, you know, prosecutors have their discretion, of course. We still have to work with the state's attorney's office. I'm sure we'll have some conversation after this. But again, at the end of the day, it's Mr. Smollett who committed this hoax, period. If he wanted to clear his name, the way to do that was in a court of law so that everyone could see the evidence. You all know what the bond proffer said. You know, we all know what it said. So, you know, I stand by the facts of what we produced. If they want to dispute those facts, then the place to do that is in court, not secrecy.
Sir, I want to say one other thing. Mr. Smollett is still saying that he is innocent, still running down the Chicago Police Department. How dare him? How dare him? After everybody saw, and I want to remind you, this is not the superintendent's word against his. The grand jury, a sliver of the evidence, and they came to a conclusion, as did the state's attorney's office. This is not the superintendent and the detective's department word against his. And even after this whitewash, still no sense of ownership of what he's done. He says that, in fact, he is the wrong in this case. This is an unbelievable, not just whitewash of justice, this is a person now who's been let off scot-free with no sense of accountability of the moral and ethical wrong of his actions. From top to bottom, not only besmirching the name of the city, but then I cannot stress that in a time when you have people bringing a moral equivalency in Virginia between bigots and those fighting bigotry, then you have a person using hate crime laws that are on the books to protect people who are minorities from violence, to then turn around and use those laws to advance your career and your financial reward. Is there no decency in this man?
So, Mr. Mayor,
Was the decision politically motivated? Two things. One, to the state's attorney, to the Sturt's attorney, the question about whether it was politically motivated or not is something you have to ask them, because only they can answer their motivation. But I do know what the grand jury says, and I keep pointing you back to what the grand jury did when they saw just a piece of the data. And I think there's not a person up here would love to have all the information made public, let alone the two individuals who also talked.
Wait a second.
It's not whether I do or not. That's a question that only she can answer. I can only guess at it. To your question, Cheryl, I would just, if you mind repeating it, because I tried to...
Yes. His attorneys say that he has been vilified, that this case was, the case against him was not going to be public, and he's being judged.
He's a person that brought this forward. Now, I remind you all, it goes back to also a letter. Now, he brought this case forward. He said he was a victim of a hate crime, both for his sexual orientation and for being black. The evidence came forward. A grand jury saw the evidence, realized this was a hoax on the city, a hoax on hate crimes, a hoax on people of good values who actually were empathetic at first, and he used that empathy for only one reason. Listen, I'm going to close on this. We just had one of the largest ceremonies for the police department in the history of the city. 297 men and women. Most diverse class representing all parts of this city. People from all walks of life and backgrounds and faiths who said they want to serve the city and serve the values of the city and help serve others in time of need. They are there to uphold the law, and they have their best training to do that. And I draw to you in that contrast, people of all walks of life, as I said, graduates of our public schools, kids who grew up and parents were police officers, veterans of the armed forces who have a life of service. They were there to not only uphold the law, but the values that imbue and inform those laws. And now you have an individual who took those laws, turned them inside out, upside down, for only one thing, himself. And that, in my view, is an insult and an offense to every one of us who collectively uphold those laws, because they reflect who we are as a city, and because of the hate crime legislation that's federal, who we are as a country. Thank you.
I don't think there's any question as to how Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
All right, there you have it from WGN TV News. Superintendent Eddie Johnson and Mayor Rahm Emanuel addressing us about the whole Jussie Smollett case, and Rahm does not seem very happy.
Unwavering in their belief that he is extremely guilty and furious that he's not owning up to it.
But Eddie Johnson, not as furious as Rahm, and not putting any blame on the state's attorney's office when asked. He kept saying, this is Jussie Smollett who did this. Yeah. It's, you know... How can you not be mad at the state's attorney's office? You're at a graduation, for God's sakes.
The handling of it is very
peculiar.
I'm
sure behind closed doors he will definitely
give them a discussion at the end.
Right.
It'll be a loud discussion.
But I think what was so interesting about, obviously now we're seeing the other side of this as much as we're going to see at this point, because he said, you know, the case is sealed. You're not going to get the information.
Why is it sealed? Why do they seal
certain
cases?
It's a good question.
Oh, I forgot to ask Rich Linkoff that.
But, you know, what's so interesting is that when Mayor Emanuel talked about the Shepherd laws and everything else going on in this country, you can see that this case is just taken to another level. That's why it's a national story,
right?
Because, you know, everything going on in this country right now with hate crimes,
right?
And it's just, you know, he said, just because you have a little influence and wealth that you can get away with things. And now it's, you know, what happens to the next person who doesn't have the resources that a Jussie Smollett has?
Yeah, it's a terrible disadvantage, obviously.
And allegedly using the evidence.
Yep.
For furthering themselves.
Still don't get it. I don't get how this could have been overturned.
Getting back to something you just said about why it's such a big story, I know that here in Chicago, because it's happening here in Chicago, all the TV stations, most of the radio stations, the talk stations, that's the focus. Do you think this is getting as much press nationwide?
Oh, absolutely.
Were they cutting into daytime shows?
They were cutting in on CNN.
They were
carrying it live. It's all done our ABC News call, which goes to, you know, every radio station in this country.
And the appeal here, appeal's a strange word, but the reason that it is so magnetic is because of what you just said.
Well, I'm glad that Mayor Emanuel's getting that point out, because the reason it is getting so much play is because he's a Hollywood actor.
Yeah, right.
And because it's highly unusual that a case completely turns around like this.
In an emergency situation, like at the drop of a hat, you know, there's all
of this. So many of the texts early on, as the story was breaking a few short hours ago, were, well, of course, he's going to get his way. He's rich. He's powerful. He's successful. He's famous. And that's kind of turning out to be true, isn't it, as the day plays on?
It appears that way.
Yeah.
But again, and I question this not to disagree with you, but just because I'm so completely confused. Yes, he has great attorneys, but there's also a legal system that you have to adhere to. And it's not like the Chicago Police Department is letting him go.
So well, no, and that's what he was saying, that, you know, a grand jury indicted him on 16 counts.
Right.
A grand jury saw a little bit of that evidence and indicted him on 16 counts. And you don't forget that, you know, the FBI is still also investigating that letter that he received.
Yeah.
And there wasn't much mention about that.
No.
So
toward the end, Rahm Emanuel at the very end brought that back into play.
Right. So there is a possibility that
he didn't write that either.
He didn't. You know, we'll have to wait and see.
This is bizarre.
What the FBI says.
But hadn't they already proved that it was his handwriting and that he was responsible, or am I imagining that?
I'm not sure about that.
I don't know what was proved anymore.
I know that he hasn't been charged.
On
the letter.
Okay.
And the FBI, because that's mail fraud, the FBI is
federal
investigating
offense.
That. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. We have to wrap up, but I want you to ponder something tonight. And if you have a quick answer, feel free. But what, aside from the fact that he's not going to go to jail, what good is this to him? I believe
he's still tarnished.
It's still, people still don't believe him. And now I almost feel like they're madder at him for finding a way out of it. Is Empire going to hire him back? Doubt it.
Well, from a legal standpoint, he's no longer guilty of the charges. So
if they didn't hire him,
he could almost go back
and sue them for saying, you
and then ask for his raise that he apparently
has. How does this guy win the freedom to do whatever he wants now for the... I just don't get it.
Because of innocent until proven guilty.
But I thought he was. He was indicted
We all thought he was. It seemed clear-cut, but it wasn't clear-cut.
All charges dropped.
He was indicted and charged, but now he's...
Nope, clean slate.
Clean slate. Clean slate. But you know what?
That's going to be his new nickname.
But the thing is...
Hi, clean slate.
He has to live with himself, and the fact that he said he wouldn't be his mother's son if he wasn't.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That makes me believe him, you guys. I believe anyone.
I'm a sucker too, Wendy, but you know, we just saw the other side now. But
we don't know.
Right. You're never going to know. You're never going to be able to make a determination.
Did the speech that Eddie Johnson and Mayor Emanuel make, was that kind of in line with what you thought you'd hear from them today, or was that a surprise at all?
It's not. It's in line with what Mayor Emanuel said.
Yeah.
I expected Superintendent Johnson to be angrier.
Both of them I expected to be.
Yeah.
I mean, Mayor Rahm Emanuel really...
You could see that they were not pleased with any part of this.
But I expected him... Eddie Johnson was just so passionate the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And stood up for this city.
Yeah.
And, you know, but now they're doing what they need to do and stand up for their police officers
and the
department.
And Senator Kamala Harris is not his aunt. A lot of people texting.
Yeah, text people.
And go
that.
To Snopes.com, people, when in doubt. Or go to Bill's house. He'll tell you.
Yeah, I got a booth set up. Kim, thank you for hanging out.
Truth booth.
Truth booth.
I like it.
All right, more after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, Bill.
Wendy, earlier in the show, I had mentioned that we'd be playing an edition of the big, huge, gigantic super celebrity game. Because of the news today in the Jussie Smollett case, we did not have time to play that game. That game will be played tomorrow, and the winner will receive a fabulous prize. I don't know what time, but sometime tomorrow.
We also didn't talk about the celebrity crush that you were supposed to talk about. Brought to you by American Weather Makers.
Yeah, the 60 Minute Men. Absolutely. We didn't get to that. So we'll try to bring that up tomorrow. Or else, just if you see us in the street, just stop us and we'll tell you what happened.
All right.
Hollywood.
Fair enough.
That's it. All right. No more show today, but there will be one tomorrow and the rest of the week, and we hope you're a part of it. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.